So it's the 1934 Bonvoyer. Within this place, the theme is the mystery of the soul. When on one occasion a confessor told me to ask the Lord Jesus the meaning of the two rays in the image, I answered, "Very well, I will ask the Lord." During prayer, I heard these words within me. The two rays, these two rays, denote blood and water. The pale ray stands for the water, which makes souls righteous. The red ray stands for the blood, which is the life of souls. These two rays issued forth from the very depths of my tender mercy when my agonized heart was opened by lance on the cross. These rays shield souls from the wrath of my Father. Happy is the one who will dwell in their shelter, for the just hand of God shall not lay hold on him. I decided the first Sunday after Easter be the Feast of Mercy. Ask of my faithful servant, Father Sepulchre, that on this day he tell the whole world of my great mercy, that wherever approaches the font of life on this day will be granted complete remission of sins and punishment. Mankind will not have peace until it turn with trust to my mercy. This is absolute. If our heart is not close to Jesus, we will never have world peace. The world is now fighting. Now you know that in Holy Name, the Palestinian is asking the United Nations to be independent. Of course, the American and the Israel government didn't accept it. For what? There is no love, there is no trust. Mankind will not have peace until it turns with trust to my mercy. Oh, how much I'm hurt by soul's distrust, Jesus says. He hurt by our distrust. Such a soul professes that I'm holy and just, but does not believe that I'm mercy and does not trust in my goodness. Even the devils glorified my justice, but do not believe in my goodness. My heart rejoices in this title of mercy. Proclaim that mercy is the greatest attribute of God. All the works of my hands are crowned with mercy. God is forgiving. Always. O eternal Lord, I want all the souls you have created to come to know you. I would like to be a priest, for then I would speak without cease about your mercy to sinful souls drowned in despair. I would like to be a missionary and carry the lights of faith to savage nations in order to make you known to souls, and to be completely consumed for them and to die a martyr's death, just as you died for them and for me. O Jesus, I know only too well that I can be a priest, a missionary, a preacher, and that I can die a martyr's death by completely emptying myself and denying myself enough of you, O Jesus, and of immortal souls. Great love can change small things into great things. That's the motto of Mother Teresa. Little things can do great things in little things. And it is only love which lends value to our actions. And the purer our love becomes, the less there will be within us for the flames of suffering to feed upon, and the suffering will cease to be a suffering for us. It will become a delight. So not because we don't have suffering, but becomes a delight, this joyful experience. By the grace of God, I've received such a disposition of heart that I'm never too happy as when I'm suffering for Jesus, whom I love with every beat of my heart. Once, when I was suffering greatly, I left my work and escaped to Jesus and asked him to give me his strength. After a very short prayer, I returned to my work, filled with enthusiasm and joy. Then one of the sisters said to me, "You must have many consolations today. You look so radiant. Surely God is giving you no suffering, but only consolation." Jealousy of his sister. They didn't know how much she suffered, so much. Only after the visitation to Jesus that she's become radiant. They see the part of it. "Surely God is giving you no suffering, but only consolation." "You are greatly mistaken, sister," I answered, "for it is precisely when I suffer much that my joy is greater. And when I suffer less, my joy also is less." It seems not our disposition. It seems no suffering, joy. Suffering, sad. However, that soul was letting me recognize that she does not understand what I was saying. Of course, not on the same level of thinking. I tried to explain to her that when we suffer much, we have a great chance to show God that we love him. But when we suffer little, we have less occasion to show God our love. And when we do not suffer at all, our love is then neither great nor pure. No test. Only in suffering you can test us whether our love for us for God is pure or not pure. You presume we always love God. By the grace of God, we can attain the point where suffering will become a delight to us, for love can work such things in pure souls. So if you don't understand much, be simple. We are too complicated to think too much things. Oh my Jesus, my only hope, thank you for the book which you have opened before my soul's eye. That book is your passion, which you underwent for love of me. It is from this book that I have learned much to love God and souls. In this book, they are found for us inexhaustible treasures. Oh Jesus, how few souls understand you in a martyrdom of love. Oh, how great is the fire of purest love which burns in your most sacred heart. Happy the soul that has come to understand the love of the heart of Jesus. It is my greatest desire that souls should recognize you as the eternal happiness, and they should come to believe in your goodness and glorify your infinite mercy. To believe in God's mercy when you are in suffering, that's important. When you have nothing happened, you say you believe anything. When something happened, that is a test whether you really trust or not trust. You trust yourself more than you trust in Jesus. It's a scriptures desire that souls should recognize you as their eternal happiness, that they should come to believe in your goodness and glorify your infinite mercy. I ask the Lord to grant me the grace that my nature be immune and resist the influence that sometimes try to draw me away from the spirit of our rule and from the minor regulations. These minor transgressions are like little moles that try to destroy the spiritual life within us. And they surely will destroy it if the soul is aware of these minor transgressions, and yet this regards them as small things. So all the regulations and little things you have to observe well. I can see nothing that is small in the religious life. Sister, nothing small. Not only for her, for us also. Nothing is small. Oh, I'm doing kitchen work. Not small. Oh, that's what we have, the little boy, little girl. Not small. Everything we have is great before the Lord. Little matter if I am sometimes the object of vexation and jeers, as long as my spirit remains in harmony with the spirit of the rules, the vows, and the religious statutes. So maybe some sisters might laugh at her. Come on. No, little things, maybe out of time, drinks or little things, snack, you know. Nothing happened. But she keep her rules, and then people might laugh at her. Oh, my Jesus, delight of my heart, you know, it's my desires. I should like to hide from people's sights, so as to be like one alive and yet not living. I want to live pure as a white flower. I want my love always to be turned to you, just as a flower that is always turning to the sun. I want the fragrance and the freshness of the flower of my heart to be always preserved for you alone. Only for Jesus, for the glory of God, our life. Can we do that? Of course, for money, part of it. But money is just to, and it's just a means to love your family members. But it's not the ultimate goal of life. Your life is love as Jesus would love. See Jesus in this person, this submission. I want to live beneath your divine gaze, for you alone are enough for me. When I am with you, Jesus, I fear nothing, for nothing can do me harm. So do it. Keep Jesus in your heart. Be a living tabernacle. Keep Jesus the whole week. And the next time you receive Holy Communion, keep Jesus as if you in the triporium, in the tabernacle. No matter where you go, a sacred thing. Then the kitchen becomes a sacred place. Anywhere you go, restaurants, shops, you are another Jesus. That's our security of being one with the Lord. Once during the end, I saw great lights and a great darkness over house and chapel. I saw the struggle of these two powers. You know, even in the convent, there are lots of temptations. Of course, surrounded by God's love, but also surrounded by the evil spirit. They want to, you know, take souls away from God. Holy Thursday, Jesus said to me, I desire that you make an offering of yourselves for sinners, an expression for those souls who have lost hope in God's mercy. I think one of the most difficult things is to trust once again. You know, might be the I tried too many times, and so much human weakness that to say, I try and not succeed. They lose hope. The title is God and Souls, an Act of Oblations. Before heaven and earth, before all the choirs of angels, before the Most Holy Virgin Mary, before all the power of heaven, I declare to the one triumph God, and today, in union with Jesus Christ, Redeemer of souls, I make a voluntary offering of myself for the conversion of sinners, especially for those souls who have lost hope in God's mercy. This offering consists in my accepting, with total subjection to God's will, all the sufferings, fears, terrors with which sinners are filled, In return, I give them all the consolation which my soul received from my communion with God. In a word, I offer everything for them, Holy Mass, Holy Communions, penances, mortifications, prayers. So, also a prayer, only also for sinners. No, you say, oh, we're perfect, your working place is perfect, and your family is perfect. Offer your prayers for those sinful souls. They need our prayer, they need our support. I do not fear the blows of divine justice, because I'm united with Jesus. Oh my God, in this way, I want to make amends to you for the souls that do not trust in your goodness. I hope against all hope in the ocean of your mercy. My Lord and my God, my portion forever, I do not base this act of oblation of my own strength, but on the strength that flows from the merits of Jesus Christ. So don't trust yourself. Trust in Jesus, always. You do it, but with the help of Jesus. Don't just do it all yourself. You cannot. We are very weak. The devil will come to you very soon. Tell you, oh, come on. Stop. Too much. Anyway, you're telling you, keep Jesus in your heart. Don't listen. I will daily repeat third act of self-oblation by pronouncing the following prayer which you yourself have taught me, Jesus. That's the word of Jesus taught the prayer. O blood and water which gusts forth from the heart of Jesus as a font of mercy for us, I trust in you. So in breath, I trust in you, Jesus, I trust in you. No, keep this, the ejaculation, steady prayer, simple prayer, especially at the time that you attempt not to do good, not to be good. Jesus, I trust in you, do all things only for him. On Blessed Sacrament. Holy Thursday, during Holy Mass, March 29, 1934. Jesus word, I'm giving you a share in the redemption of mankind. You are solace of my dying hour. Close quotation. When I received permission from my confessor, Father Sopoku, to make his act of oblation, I soon learned that it was pleasing to God, because I immediately began to experience its effects. In a moment, my soul became like a stone, dried up, filled with torment and disquiet. You know, when she wanted to offer herself for the sinners, suddenly lost all the taste, dried like a stone, very quick. Once you say yes, that's the answer there. All sorts of blasphemies and curses kept pressing upon my ears. Suddenly comes. Distrust and despair made my heart. This is the condition of the poor people, which I have taken upon myself. You know, she experienced the pain of the other person. She took it up for herself, and then the other person experienced peace, joy, communion with the Lord. And she herself kept away. At first, I was very much frightened by these terrible, horrible things. But during the first confession, I was at peace. So Father Sopoku consoled her, my daughter, like this. Once when I went outside the convent to go to confession to St. Michael's Church, I chanced upon my confessor, Father Sopoku, saying Mass just then. After a while, I saw the child Jesus on the altar, joyfully and playfully holding out his hands to him. But a moment later, the priest took the beautiful child into his hand, the host, no? Broke him up and ate him alive. She saw it this way. Baby Jesus broken and eat. At the first instance, I felt dislike for the priest for having done this to Jesus. But I was immediately enlightened in the matter, and I understood that this priest was very pleasing to God. So, once when I was visiting the artist Eugen Kasmirovsky, who was painting the image, this image, and saw that it was not as beautiful as Jesus sees, I felt very sad about it. But I hid it deep in my heart. When we had left the artist's house, Mother Superior Irene stayed in town to attend to some matters while I returned home alone. I went immediately to the chapel and wept a good deal. She didn't stay. It's no good, but she just keep herself and cry. A little girl, little child, cry. I said to the Lord, who will paint you as beautiful as you are? Of course, the way she teaches is different. But nobody can paint this beauty. Then I heard these words, Lord, in the beauty of the color, Lord, of the brush lies the greatness of this image, but in my grace. Even the picture doesn't paint very well, doesn't matter. Sometimes there are too many other holy picture of divine mercy, different images, maybe sometimes look awful. Remember, not in the beauty of the color, nor of the brush lies the greatness of this image, but in my grace. That's important. His grace. So at times you just give a picture as if something, as if divine, no. That's representing important God's divine mercy itself, not the picture. Otherwise, it could be superstitious. You know, just, oh, I have a beautiful picture, beautiful color, beautiful grace. Just, no, not the picture, not the color. When I went to the garden one afternoon, my guardian angel said to me, pray for the dying. And so I began at once to pray the rosary with the gardeners for the dying. After the rosary, we said various prayers for the dying. After these prayers, the wards began to chat gaily among themselves. In spite of the noise they were making, I heard these words in my soul, pray for me. But as I could not understand these words very well, I moved a few steps away from the wards, trying to think who it could be who was asking me to pray. Then I heard these words, I am Sister so-and-so. This sister was in Warsaw while I was at the time in Vilnius. Word, pray for me until I tell you to stop. I am dying. That sister. Your Majesty, I began to pray fervently for her. To the expiring heart of Jesus. She gave me no respite, and I kept praying from 3 o'clock until 5. At 5, I heard the words, thank you. And I understood that she had died. But during Holy Mass on the following day, I continued to pray fervently for her soul. In the afternoon, a postcard came saying that Sister so-and-so had died at such a time. I understood that it was at the same time, same hour, when she had said to me, pray for me. Mother of God, your soul was plunged into a sea of bitterness. Look upon your child and teach her to suffer and to love while suffering. Fortify my soul that pain will not break it. Mother Mercy, teach me to live by the power of God. So she doesn't not only talk to Jesus, she talked to our Heavenly Mother too. We too. Keep our Heavenly Mother next to you. You keep Jesus as in the Chiporium, as you have a living tabernacle. But I heard that one of the messages, wherever the best sacrament, our Heavenly Mother is there. She's there. So you will keep Jesus in you, surely our Heavenly Mother is next to you. So keep this strongly, keep Jesus in you, in your heart. So whenever we say, whatever prayer we say here, the Hail Mary, my Heavenly Mother is here. She's listening. She is with us. So be joyful. We have Brother Jesus and Mother Mary. So let us say our prayer.